Good afternoon, and welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you're visiting with us either in person or by way of the video live stream, we welcome you. If you're listening in to the Cathedral Audio Podcast, we welcome you as well. I have just a couple of notices. If you would be seated for a moment, please. I'll just mention to you that this past week, Debbie, the bishop's wife, has had her father die in this past week. So Jack Prince, and he's from Petticoatiac or Salisbury, funeral scheduled for tomorrow. And Debbie's just returned from Kenya. And they're kind of rushing around. But if you would remember them in your prayers, it would be appreciated. Also, the brother of Carol Gregory, Alan Reed, died this past Thursday, and that was in Ottawa. And if you would remember Carol and members of their family as well, that's also appreciated. Matthew Rogers, who is the son of Betty Rogers, of course, and brother to Kate, had open-heart surgery this past Thursday in St. John, and he came through that well. The family's also asking if we would remember him in our prayers. You'll note in your bulletin from the information from last week's bishop and chapter meeting that we are still in need of some nominations as we approach our annual meeting on the 16th of March. We need one nomination for a position on the chapter itself, and we're also looking for five nominees for delegates to synod in this coming year. And this morning we had a couple of folks share with us some details about what's coming up in the next few weeks. Gary Barfitt was here and spoke about the Pancake Supper, which will be in about a week and a half. And Gary's still looking for some servers to work the floor that night. So if that's something that you might think you could do, that would be appreciated. And also, Kirk Schmidt was here and did a brief review of the upcoming Lenten programming. And there's an insert in your bulletin that indicates what that is. If you have any questions, give the office a call or contact Kurt or myself. We'd be happy to talk to you about that. Is there anything else that needs announcing? The service is evening prayer from the Book of Common Prayer, and we'll begin with opening sentences. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws which he set before us. And we begin on page 18. Dearly beloved, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace. And we say together, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, we beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, open thou our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name in praise.
And as we stand to sing, the psalm is number 145. The text you'll find on page 516, Psalm 145.
Praise the Lord, and I need to
The first lesson is taken from Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom cries out in the street. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you have refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you, when panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes out like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated and with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. Here ends the first lesson.
Thank you.
The second lesson is taken from John chapter 10. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Here ends the second lesson.
Continue now as we stand for the Apostles' Creed on page 22.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. For the love of thy only Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of wisdom speaking in the lesson from Proverbs is wisdom personified. Early biblical scholars identified this person as the feminine Sophia, the Greek noun and name, which means wisdom, intelligence, skill. And this wisdom, many scholars would argue, is divine wisdom or holy wisdom. The wisdom speaking in Proverbs 1, it could be argued, has some characteristics not usually identified with the holy God worshipped by Christians. There's an evident vengeance here. Wisdom being unforgiving of those who scoff and reject her counsel. How long will scoffers delight? She says, "I have called and you have refused. I will mock when panic strikes. I will laugh at your calamity." Holy wisdom in this instance is in stark contrast to the person of God manifested in Jesus the Son. Wisdom would seem to have no time for second chances. Mercy and forgiveness are not quoted as characteristics of this person. The Jesus of the Gospel teaches that he is the gate, the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. We don't interact much with sheep in our day or location, certainly not like those in the time and locale of Jesus. When we hear mention of the Good Shepherd and sheep, no doubt it conjures up images of a light-skinned Jesus in a perfectly pressed robe, bleached pure white, carrying on his shoulders a fluffy, clean, white lamb. I expect that is far from the reality of what Jesus was trying to communicate. The reality of sheep is quite different from how we might dream about them. Sheep are difficult to train. They are simple, gentle spirits who scare easily. They love to rub their bodies up against sides of fences and trees when they're shedding, leaving clumps of wool behind. There are often a few internal leaders in a herd, but the majority of sheep are happy to follow. Their depth perception isn't very good, so they often have to rely on someone showing them the way through the gate. Most of the time, they're quiet, with a few contented baas or bleats. But if you've caught them and they don't want to be caught, they scream. They do everything they can to get away. And they usually stink. The picture we have in our minds of Jesus the Good Shepherd often inadvertently paints us as being good sheep. Somehow. We're all basically good, right? When Jesus is depicted carrying a lamb on his shoulders, I think it's likely that the lamb is bleeding for dear life. Perhaps even wriggling around, trying to get free. Maybe if we're honest with ourselves, we might find that closer to our own experiences too. Maybe you like to believe that when Jesus carries you, you're well behaved and soft, that you know God knows better than you do, and you're willing to let go of control and allow God to work. In reality, though, perhaps all of us bleat and wriggle a whole lot. Perhaps the very reason for needing rescue in the first place is our incessant need to be in full control, knowing better than anyone what is wise in our particular situation. But when we come to know our place as sheep, what comes with it is the will to follow the leader and to be willing to also lay down our lives for one another, just as the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We need not die for one another, but if we will the best for others, we will be able to give from our store of what brings life to someone who needs a little of what we have. We lay down our life. Jesus is carrying us, carrying you. We may need to revise the image we have of both the Lamb and the Good Shepherd. Amen. The Lord be with you. As we kneel, let us pray. Let us pray for the church, its ministers, both lay and ordained, and all who worship God in spirit and in truth. Quicken, O Lord, we beseech thee, all the members of thy church, that they may be alive to the opportunities and responsibilities of these times. Save us from complacency and fear of new ways. Inspire us with the vision of a world won for thee, and stir our wills to pray and to work until thy will is done on earth as it is in heaven. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Remember especially in your prayers those named in prayer cycles today, the Anglican Church of Brazil, Archbishop Basoto, their primate and Bishop of the Amazon, Archbishop Harper, National Indigenous Archbishop in Canada, Archbishop Edwards, our Bishop and Metropolitan, Bishop Maduaduas Badohu, Bishop of our Companion Diocese, all who lead and those who worship God throughout the world. Pray for the common good throughout the world, in our nation and in our homes. O God, the Father of all humankind, we beseech thee to guide by thy Spirit the nations of the world, the leaders of our nation, and the inhabitants of our homes. May selfishness be overcome by a desire to serve the common good. Grant to all in responsibility, wisdom, patience, and strength to know and to do thy will, that peace and justice may be established among us for all generations. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. And for faith in a world of secular living where doubt too often abounds and many live without the comfort of the light of Christ, let us pray. O God of hope, fill us, we beseech thee, with all the joy and peace in believing, that we may ever abound in hope by the power of thy Holy Spirit, and show forth our thankfulness to thee in trustful and courageous lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And let us remember to pray for those who have asked us to pray for them, those we know to be in any kind of need, trouble, or illness. We pray also for those who mourn and for those who have departed this life, remembering especially Jack Prince and Alan Reed. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. And let us give thanks for the comforts that are ours and for blessings unnumbered. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank thee for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank thee for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank thee also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on thee alone. Above all, we thank thee for thy Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again in which we are raised to the life of thy kingdom. Grant us the gift of thy Spirit that we may know him and make him known and through him at all times and in all places may give thanks to thee in all things. Amen. Almighty God, who hast given us grace at this time, with one accord, to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. And we say together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen.